Welcome to Hope It's Here. My name is Greg Horn. We've had a great week talking about a topic that I really don't think people talk enough about, and especially us men. We're talking about the topic of grief. And we all know that when you lose somebody to physical death, when you have to go to a funeral, there's obviously tremendous pain and suffering through grief, and we need to do that. I don't think that we do that a lot in the United States. I think we allow just a couple, 3 days, and then we say you got to go on to the next thing, and that's not healthy. And we're dealing with this. I really believe that God wants some of us to get our souls healthy, and one of the reasons a lot of us are not healthy on the inside, we may look great on the outside, is because we don't deal with grieving, where our soul is unhealthy. And our guest Sherry Matherly, who has been with us this week, this is our third program with her, is sharing her phenomenal story. We had her back in late January, I believe 20th through 24th. You should go to our website, hopeishere.today, and hear her amazing story of recovery. She was shot in the head close range by her soon-to-be ex-husband, who was very verbally abusive and an alcoholic, and told her she picked a fine day to die. But as one of her favorite psalms, Psalm 23, says, "The Lord is my shepherd,
I shall not want.
Though you walk
through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me."
I love that. I love that. She walked through the valley of the shadow of death. We read that if, you know, Sherry was alive, but that was her favorite song growing up. And so you need to go back and listen to those podcasts. They're only 14 minutes long. You can catch a couple riding to work, home from work, while you're getting ready in the morning, while you're exercising, walking at night. Really, I want to encourage you to check those out. HopeIsHere.today is our website. On top of that, we already had two other programs this week talking about grief, because she had learned through listening to her own programs. You know, it's kind of awkward for me included to listen to myself talk, but she had never heard the story. Obviously, people have asked her, but never to tell consecutively like that. And she realized through listening to those programs back in late January of this year that she had never really grieved about actually being shot in August of 2003. And then a movie called I Can Only Imagine that just came out a couple months ago on the story of the great band Mercy Me, and has that powerful song that's number one, I believe, song of the year, not just Christian, but in all facets of music. You hear it on country stations, you know, top 40 music stations. I Can Only Imagine. Bart Millard, the lead singer, tells about his very unhealthy, abusive background he grew up in. Sherry went and saw that and realized she had not grieved some other losses in her childhood. So you need to listen to these programs. I know I've been going on and on about this, but I'm telling you, you will be blessed. They're only 14 minutes long, so I hope that you'll do that. I hope you'll share them with friends, family members, because I really believe that God wants people to get healthy in their soul, but you cannot do that until you deal with it. She gave a great illustration about a mason jar and putting our wounds and grief into those and putting a lid on it, putting up on a shelf, and then eventually, you know, the shelf can only handle so many jars of pain and suffering and grief, and the shelf broke, and I'm thankful to know that yours is broken, and yet you're getting healing for your soul. She went to see a grief counselor at the used to be called Hospice of the Bluegrass, but now it's called Bluegrass Care Navigators. So Sherry's doing some great things, and she's doing her own research, and she's getting healthy in her soul, even though she's been denied the opportunity to drive for the last few years. You think maybe you've got a challenging situation? Imagine being told you couldn't drive anymore, even though you're healthy in a lot of ways. So all that being said, we shared some definitions yesterday of grief. Sherry, thank you for being with us again. Share some other definitions of grief that really have spoke to you as you've been getting your soul healthy over the last few months.
I share this website that I found. It's called the Grief Recovery Method, and I found three definitions, and I shared the first one yesterday. The second one is, grief is the conflicting feelings caused by the end of or change in a familiar pattern of behavior. So like you have sadness and then relief. Something happened, you're sad, then flip side, you're relieved. So that is grief. I never knew what grief was. It just blown my mind. But this one is, I love. Grief is the feeling of reaching out for someone who has never been there for me, only to discover when I need them the one more time, they still aren't there for me, either emotionally or just not available.
Mm.
So that's grief.
Give an example of that in your life.
So that's, my husband was never emotionally available. My father was never emotionally available. I've never had anybody really emotionally available. Exactly.
So you've had to be strong. Yeah. And yet, I think you have found through this time, unfortunately not planned and obviously not desired, but as you have grown closer to your Heavenly Father.
Exactly. Exactly.
You've started to find that comfort and love. Is that a fair statement?
That is. That's why I say Psalms 23 has been my life verse since childhood. And I say, I think God finally got my attention. He made me lie down, and He's making me make me understand, not making me, but He's leading me to understand who He is. And then He's showing me, by seeing this movie, showing me that I need to grieve. There's so much in my heart that needs to be healed. And I think about you all the time. You've always pushed Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart. Out of it flows the wellspring of life. Everything's in your heart. And I had so much heart and junk pushed down in there that I've never read over that needs to be grieved so I can be well. And I think about my daughter. One of her old boyfriends said that she didn't need to deal with what happened. Like, she was only 16 when I got shot, and she had never dealt with it. And he kept saying, she finally decided she wanted to deal with it, and he kept telling her she didn't need to. That happened in the past, and she didn't need to go on. And I kept telling him she needed to deal with it because she's only 16. I mean, you're 16. Your dad tries to kill your mother and kills himself. I mean, that's not something you just get over.
Yeah, you just don't say, okay, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah. But I didn't realize myself, I was doing the same thing. I just, okay, that happened, so I'm going on. So I had to deal. I had to face, acknowledge my grief and my losses and what I lost and grieved and grieved them.
And it takes time, doesn't it?
A long time. It's a big, long process. And like I told you, I'm still a mess. I'm still a mess. And there I go laughing again.
It's all right. Well, I think the thing is, a lot of people, I hadn't heard this term until about a year ago, but I was volunteering at Lighthouse Ministries in downtown Lexington, and somebody said something about, oh, they're just a hot mess. And I think the thing for you is that, you would probably say, I guess, to make maybe something easy to understand with your grieving process, maybe it was a hot mess back in January as all this started coming to the surface.
Exactly.
That you had never dealt with.
Exactly.
When you started listening to your own programs here and all this stuff. Wow, that really did happen in my life. But now I don't think you're a hot mess. I think you're dealing with the mess, and I think it's getting, it was messy at first, but I think it's getting less messy. And I'm just excited to see as you continue to seek the Lord with all your heart and do grief counseling and share your story. I really believe healing's going to come. And wouldn't you say that's the first step in healing, is just admit, hey, I got to deal with some of this stuff in my soul.
Exactly. And I think a lot of it is, like you said, a little pride. Is, I've always just done, if something happened, I just went on. But now, I can't deal with it. I can't just go on. I need my shepherd. I need to get to where he wants me to be, to do what he wants me to do. I have to deal with my hurts and my losses and admit that I have been hurt. And that's hard for me too, is to admit that I was hurt. And I don't know why that's hard. And it's hard for me to say, I may be going random, but it's hard for me to say, I got shot. And I don't know why that, I say I got hurt. So I'm trying to learn to say that I got shot. So I guess that's part of admitting that
it actually happened.
That it actually happened.
The full effect of it. Yeah. I got hurt. I mean, obviously, but when you say I got shot, I mean, remember the first time I had to say I was divorced, I couldn't, somebody asked something, and I said, well, I'm, I mean, I thought I was nauseous.
Yeah,
tears
exactly.
Get flowing. So it brings back the pain. I think when you're very specific about that, yet I think God cares about the words we speak. And I heard somebody say several years ago, with the revealing comes healing.
Exactly.
And that's what I think you're doing. You're revealing, hey, this stuff hurt.
Exactly. And that's what the grief counselor told me, said that speaking it out loud brings healing. That's how we heal, is speaking out loud.
Well, I know so many people, I mean, lately it's just been brutal, of people losing children, my goodness, to suicide, overdose on drugs. I've had like 3 situations with friends. Another one's got a son that's a full-blown alcoholic that has a law degree, and it's just brutal, and their hearts are breaking. And I just want to let you know, it's okay to hurt. Don't try to act like it doesn't hurt. It does. And most of all, let somebody know, a friend, right, that you're
exactly.
hurting.
Exactly.
And
don't
pray
keep
for
yourself.
Me. Is
exactly.
that fair?
Yes. And you said it's okay to hurt. And that's one thing the grief counselor told me, that it is okay to hurt. And just to, you know, and just to realize that God sees it all, and that He's right there with you.
I love that. How much have you found? Obviously, your earthly father and your mother left, so was challenging, and then yeah, just awful, you know, the first marriage, and then this second marriage with the verbally abusive alcoholic husband. I mean, how have you learned, you know, that your heavenly father, how have you learned how much He loves you through this process the last few months?
You know, because the Bible tells me so. But
well, I mean, but you know, that's true.
Know
that, but if you don't read that,
I know exactly.
And spend time
but
with
you know,
him.
You know, you think about what I went through. If God didn't love me, I wouldn't be here.
Mm. Amen.
And I think about that, you know, not a lot, but I do think about it. He had to love me to be here. And my favorite verse, Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you're with me. And it's because He loves me, because He wants to be with me. So He's always with me. All the time. He wants to be with me. And if He didn't love me, I would not be here. That's the main thing for me, is that if He didn't love me, I would not be here.
What would you say today, Sherry? Somebody's listening. We only got about a minute and a half left, but plenty of time for you to just share to somebody that just really doubts if God loves them after all that you've been through and you believe that. What would you say to somebody that's listening and just even doubting that God cares or that He loves them?
Don't ever doubt it. Don't ever doubt it. You're special. Nothing else. Remember Genesis 1:26-27. You're made in God's image, and you're made in His likeness. And He cares about you. And there's so many verses in the Bible that say He cares about you, and He loves you, and so much. But it's just so hard. My friend, neighbor, and I were talking about this the other night. It's hard when you don't, God's not right here with you, but we walk by faith and not by sight. So you just have to believe and know in your heart and just keep talking to Him. He's right there to talk to all the time. And just talk, and He'll tell you how much He loves you, you know?
One of the things I love that you do to be reminded of that, tell people what you have on in your house throughout the day.
Okay, love. You and this
99.1 FM, yeah. And K-Love. You do, yeah. WJMM 99.1, yeah. FM and K-Love.
This all morning until the afternoon, and then I listen to K-Love.
K-Love and music. So you're filling your heart and mind with God's, yeah. Word. And so, because it is, the battlefield, as Joyce Meyer says, is in the mind. Is that
it
correct?
It is. And it's a struggle. All the time, it's still. And I can get down my little pity parties real easy. I mean, especially not being able to drive and being there by my neighbor's gone. I mean, I still have good neighbors. I have friends and stuff, but sometimes, you know, just get lonely in your house. You know, get down, depressed. But just like that script, Psalm 34:18, God is near the brokenhearted. If you could find a scripture and just keep memorize it and just say it over and over and over, and Jesus calling the devotional says, even if you just whisper my name, just whisper Jesus, then He's there, and He'll. Just ask Him to show you how much He loves you, and that show you that He's there.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Sherry. I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.